I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes, also from the wisdom literature of the scriptures, and read the concluding chapter, chapter 12. Chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1 of Ecclesiastes. So if you open to the middle of the Bible and move forward a couple of books, you'll get there. So if you get into Psalms and move forward, you'll find it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, speaking about our bodies and they're growing weary and old, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making of many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So far the reading of God's word. I'm sure the children heard those words, and much study of the making of many books there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. But the passage before us, and indeed the book itself, is really a call to a life of holiness, a life of wisdom. And the reason why we have to have this call is because, as we've mentioned in our prayer, we live in a world where it is full of voices and powerful voices and persuasive voices to the opposite effect. The world is, as Pilgrim Progress puts it, Vanity Fair. I don't know if you've ever been to an open market. In England, we used to go to the open market, and I mean, first of all, it would be shoulder to shoulder, right? And you'd walk all through these stalls,
And then you'd have to have earmuffs on because every person on that stall is shouting out to come and buy from their stall. And so they're shouting the prices, right? So much for a pound of apples, so much for a pound of bananas or whatever. And it's just a din when you go in there. Well, in a sense, if we are alert, then that's the way our society is. That's the way the world is in which we live. Everyone is calling and buying for positions of influence, seeking to lead us and persuade us of certain values, morals, a purpose of life, and we're being pulled in all directions. And they're very tricky because they have very powerful tools to promote their ideas. So they don't just speak, but they show forth, like these markets, right? They would have some apples cut up so you could have a little piece. Well, Costco does that too, right? Everywhere you go. They want to give you a foretaste so that you will buy their stuff. And that's the way the world is. So that's the environment in which we all find ourselves. And God's word is very mindful of the fact that it's a poison environment. It's a dangerous environment. And so in God's word, we have wisdom literature that puts forth the wisdom of God. And as James puts it, the wisdom of the in opposition to the wisdom of the world, which James, not pulling any punches, says is demonic. Right? At its base, the wisdom of this world is demonic. It's evil. It's intended to lead us in a certain direction, and it certainly isn't heaven. And so the church has to contend with that. We have to contend with that. As families, we have to contend with that. As youth, we have to contend with that. As seniors, we have to contend with that. Because the chapter that I read, as you saw, first of all addresses seniors, right? Remember your Creator, because if you don't, then, you know, life is going to pass you by. It's going to be too late. And also to the youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because the damage that you will sustain if you ignore the wisdom of God is very substantial. And that's a challenge to the church as well. Where the church has been given the responsibility to proclaim the wisdom of God, to set forth all the counsel of God. And so for the church to be ignoring the environment in which we live and not saying anything in terms of what is being shouted from the housetops in our society, to say nothing to God's people is indeed an injustice and an abuse of the responsibilities that God has given to us. So we need to say these things. We need to address our young people. We need to address our adults. We need to address our seniors to say, look, we all live in the same environment. We all live under the same pressures. We all encounter these pressures day by day. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't say, do not be conformed to this world. I mean, the reason why the Bible says that is because there is an attempt underway to always form us in the shape of the world, to make us fit. I'm going to talk about political correctness. It's much more dangerous than that, not just words. They want your lifestyle to be just like that. Misery loves company. Sin loves company. The devil wants us all to act like him. Why? Because then he can boast over God that everyone follows him and reflects his image. So the
The verses that we want to focus on, verses 9 to 14, that first of all speak about the person that is addressing us, the person that is bringing to us this wisdom that is alien to this world, and the credentials of this teacher. And the first thing that we're told about him is that he is wise. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, we have to look carefully at the people that are addressing us. We need to look at their credentials. Who are these people? What right do they have to stand up and call us to a certain lifestyle or a certain direction or certain values? Why should I trust this person? And of course, they make themselves out into all kinds of, present themselves in all kinds of ways to get your support. But you have to be careful. You have to be discerning. Is this person wise? Should I trust what they're saying? Should I listen to what they're saying? And of course, in this book, Solomon is the author. He was the instrument of God. And so in that sense, he comes credentialed by God himself. His wisdom came from God. He wasn't just another person that looked at life and came up with certain sayings or proverbs, but his wisdom came from God himself. And we know that because we're told that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verses 7 to 12, God gives to Solomon this wonderful offer, and that was that he could ask him anything he wanted. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 7, it says, "On that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" Now you might think in your own mind, how would I have responded to that? What would I have asked for? For God to solve all the problems standing in my way at that time? Well, Solomon asked this. And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" And God responded by saying, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the other kings have who were before you, nor shall after you have light, have the light." So God gave him wisdom. His wisdom came from God himself. It wasn't something he thought up, but something that God revealed to him, gave to him as a gift. And this wisdom is nothing more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is spoken of as the wisdom of God. As the wisdom of God. So we must be guided then by this teacher, who is only one of the authors, of course, in terms of the scriptures, but as a whole, of course, it's the Word of God that we're to be guided by, because Christ is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he's the wisdom of God. He's the very proclamation of everything God wants to say to us. That's what the teacher had.
That's what Solomon was given. And that's what is presented to us then in the wisdom literature of the Scriptures. So Christ has to be our guide. The Scriptures have to be our guide. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, and no one comes unto the Father but by Him. So this is my question to you. Who are you listening to? I mean, I hope that at least you're aware of the fact that you are being fought over in our society. There are people that have an interest in getting you to walk in a certain way. And they're pulling at you. They're doing everything possible to get you to go in a certain direction. If you're not even aware of that, how dangerous is your situation? If you're not even aware that that's happening. So that's the first question. Do you know? Can you identify what I'm speaking about this morning? Can you hear those voices? Can you identify those voices and powers that are at work? If you're not, you're ripe for the picking. Or let me dare say, you've already been picked. You're already enslaved. And so you need to pull yourself up and say, hey, what am I doing? I have to be alert. There's a lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And if I'm not even aware of that, soon enough, I'm going to be confronted by him. And the remedy to that is that I need to listen to the wisdom of God. I need to listen to God's word. So I have to say no to these voices and yes to these. These are decisions that we're making, should be making, every day. The people don't think it's important. Parents don't make those decisions about the children that are at home that they have responsibility and authority over. They don't make those decisions. You can listen to whatever you want to listen to. You can play whatever you want to play. You can look at whatever you want to look at. You can dress the way that you want. It doesn't matter. We're skirting our responsibility. If wisdom lifts up a voice in the Scriptures calling us, and God is instigating that because He cares for us, and as He says, don't react against the chastening of the Lord because He only does it because He loves us. So the question is, where's your love for your children? Not concerned about what they do, how they dress, how they talk, what they listen to? The world is trying to get them. And it's our responsibility as they are under us to guard them, to warn them through the words of the Scriptures as we have them. So please, think about it as you go through this week. Try and identify those voices and say, you're right, he was right, I'm hearing this. And even though I may not be listening to it in terms of fully conscious, doesn't mean that it's not having an effect. The more I see of it, the more I hear of it, it has a cumulative effect. That's how advertising works. You think you're not paying attention to it, and yet they're putting seeds in your mind. And then when you come to do something, buy something, then it'll crop back up in your mind. They spend billions of dollars to do this. So they get results, otherwise they wouldn't waste their money. So be alert. He was a teacher. Not only was he wise, but he was a teacher. Not only did he have all of this wisdom and knowledge, but he had a passion to communicate it to people. And we have to be that too. So as parents and leaders, we have to be teachers. Not sergeants that shout out orders, that make life miserable for those under them, and take some sort of pleasure out of doing it. No, we're teachers. We're those that have compassion on the students. We're those that want the very best for them. And so we pray for them and we persuade them and we do everything that the wisdom literature does, which is work these things out for them so that they can understand what we're saying. It's not just an order, but there's a logical argument that we give. That's why Ecclesiastes is as it is. It goes through life and it said, let's take this path and let's show you how it ends so that you won't go down it. It doesn't just say, don't go down that path, that's it. But it explains it in detail. And that's what we have to do to one another and certainly to our children. We have to, with age appropriateness, that we have to take them down those paths and we say, look, it's not just that I'm telling you because I don't want you to have fun. I'm telling you these things because I don't want you to ruin your life and to run into all of this misery. And so we have to be teachers. We have to be patient. And when they don't understand, to go over it again, to explain it to them. I mean, how patient was the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples? I mean, he told them certain things. And sometimes it seemed that the people outside understood and they didn't. And they had to say, oh, Lord, can you explain this to us again? And the Lord Jesus Christ never says, You D students, do I have to do this again? Right? But very lovingly, he explained it to them. And so parents and preachers and elders, we have to be patient as we lead people and provide these things for them. And by the way, this teacher was prepared. In other words, he pondered these things. It says he taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Right? So the teacher can't just walk into class and wing it. There needs to be preparation done so that you can think through these things. You can anticipate questions. You can anticipate the things that they're going to raise as objections in their minds. And whether they state them or not, you are already aware of them. And so that you're prepared to be able to take them through the intricacies of such truths that you want to communicate to them, and at the same time blunt and refute the arguments of the world that's calling them to it. If you want them to have that wisdom remain in their hearts and minds, then you're going to have to make sure that it's planted in their minds. And it's only going to be planted if you explain it and they understand it. Otherwise, it's just going to be something that you said, and when they see something more pleasurable to them, they're just going to let that go. Just like that seed that the birds carried away. No, it has to be received, implanted, and remain. And that's the responsibility of the teacher. That's the kind of teacher that we have. The teachers that we have in this world don't do any of those things. And we know that because one year they say one thing, the next year they say the opposite. Well, now we change our mind. Well, didn't you think through what you said before? Well, apparently not. Apparently not. That's the way the society is. So it has certain values and morals. And then 10, 15 years later, all of a sudden they're changed. And you say, well, what's happened? Didn't we think through these things before? But that's the whole point. They don't have any absolutes. They haven't come to any absolutes. Everything is relative. And so our society looks so, so different. So, so different. In just a couple of generations, it looks so different. That's the wisdom of this world. It's always changing. Because there is no foundation to it at all. This teacher, not only does he have these credentials, but he's a complete teacher. There is stability to him. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word doesn't change. And any church and any preacher that views the Bible in evolutionary terms, In other words, we change from day to day. Supposedly get better. But no, the Word of God is a solid foundation. It's complete. Not one word is to be changed, which is why the Scriptures has that command in the Scriptures. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Nothing needs to be removed or added to the Scriptures. Why? Because it's like instructing the Lord Jesus Christ. And how absurd that is. That we say to our Lord and Savior, you know there's something wrong in your teaching. You need to change this and tweak this a little bit. And you need to get up with the times. No, I mean that is not just foolish in the extreme. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, well, you haven't quite got this right? That was Job's mistake, by the way. You haven't quite got this right in my life. And God had to remind him who he was speaking to. And finally he got it. And he acted in a wise way, because Ecclesiastes actually 5 says, when you go before God, don't speak a lot. Have few words. And which is what Job says. He said, I should have put my hand over my mouth. I spoke foolishly and hastily. No, the Word of God is perfect, stable. Everything that we need for life and godliness is here. Words of wisdom are like nails that are firmly embedded, never to move, never to sift. They always do their job. Such a structure will withstand all kinds of trials. It will remain forever and ever. This world is changing, but the Word of God abides forever. Just as it is pictured for us in the New Testament in terms of the two houses, one built on sand, one built on a rock. The one couldn't withstand the winds of this world. The other one stood firm against all the wiles of the devil himself. No. God's wisdom is something that we can bank our lives on. And it's sufficient. It's sufficient for everything. We don't need anything else. And so whatever comes in our lives, whatever our society throws at us, we will be able to address. We will be able to withstand if we are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his word. And we can see the fact that to a certain extent, we can see the results of when we don't do these things. We see churches adrift. We see churches transformed in such a way that is horrifying. And you say, how can they call themselves churches? And yet they have the support of the world. Why? Because they are conforming themselves to the world. They're doing what the world wants. So of course the world will applaud them. Because they know they are no threat to them. And people too. The Christian community, when you see the changes in them, and you say, well, what is going on? Has the Word of God changed overnight that I wasn't aware of? How is it that God's people are acting in this way? But that should not be a surprise to us. It happened in the Old Testament too. How many times did they not go astray? No, we have to withstand that. So what is the conclusion of the teacher? Well, it is this, that we need, as he said in verse 13, we need to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. This is our responsibility. This is our joy. This is our purpose. For God will bring every work into judgment, lest we need an incentive. So there's a positive and a negative. Positive is that if we live according to God's wisdom, we will enjoy life. We will know the blessings of God. We will know the strength and the comfort of God. In the midst of all of this opposition, I might add, as we make our way through the world, we will know that certainty of heart and mind. We will know that God is with us, that God is pleased with us, that God is
leading us and guiding us and strengthening us. And all that we need for life and godliness, we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the world say what it says. Oh, if you don't do this, you're going to miss out on this. If you don't act this way, you're going to miss out on that. That's what it threatens our young people with. But don't believe a word of it. Because God's word is telling us, no, if you fear God and keep His commandments, this is all that you need. This will enrich your life, no end. As Jesus said, I came to bring life, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ far excels anything of the life of this world, which is really only death. So, as young people, as adults, as seniors, we need to embrace that. We need to be confident of that. We should be so confident that we don't get affected by the threats of this world. That if you don't follow them, you're going to miss out on life. And we only have one life. And you only live once, so you better not mess it up. No. No. And in the negative, if we don't, then this one thing is sure, that the judge of this world will not be mocked. What we do in terms of disobedience and mockery of His word will be brought to account. We will stand up before Him. And all the sinners in the world may come to your defense, may want to testify in your favor, but it won't mean a thing. It won't mean a thing. Why? Because they're all liars. They've all perjured themselves by what they've said and how they have lived. They will not be received at all. Only God's verdict will stand because He is the only one that is wise. And so all your life will be laid bare. And whereas today you may have the applause of society and you may say, well, I'd be popular with them if I live in this way and I don't want to stick out. Well, fine. But in heaven, in before God's throne, I'm telling you, you want to stick out. You don't want to be like them. You want to stand in a different camp. You want to stand with God's people. But if you don't stand with them now, if you don't live the way that they do now, if you don't pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life every day now, if you don't confess the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the world today, then you will not stand with Him then. And He will not confess that He knows you and loves you. He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you because you never walked with me. And you never walked in my way. People of God, that's the life that we want to pursue. That's the life that we want to commend to you. A life that is solid, a life that is holy, a life that is pleasing to God. A life that will be a foretaste of eternal life with God in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You that in the midst of this confusing and sinful and rebellious world, that You have given us Your wisdom, that small voice, that powerful voice that speaks words of hope, words of grace, words of redemption, words of forgiveness and restoration, words of that transform us from one degree of glory to another. And our Father in heaven, we pray that You would open the ears of all of Your covenant people, young and old, that we might stand apart from the world as lights in a dark world, that we might be holy in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, so that we might be examples to them. Our Father in heaven, we pray that for Your church, and as we look at others that seem to be going adrift, we do not stand confidently in and of ourselves, but we cry out to You for help and strength, that we might forever remain on this path
the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless us and guide us by your word and spirit. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.